every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the Outdoor Living Hour, fourth Saturday of the month. So we've got Farmer Greg joining us from the Urban Farm. And you know it's a beautiful morning, Greg, because this is the last week of June. And historically, June is always Arizona's hottest month. So we're through it for the year.
Nice.
And today you've got lined out for us water harvesting, and that can be deceitful because a lot of our minds, my mind goes straight to rain, but we're it doesn't say rain harvesting, it says water harvesting.
Yeah. And often when people talk about rainwater harvesting or water harvesting in general, it's about rain and a tank. And there are so many other options than just rain in a tank. And the water harvesting types that I look at here at the Urban Farm are rainwater, when we get some rain. You know, last year we got skunked. You know, we got zero monsoons last year.
But then you also have the story about a time your tank got filled up in a matter of hours.
Minutes, yeah. And in September of 2014, we got 3 inches of rain in an hour and a half here at the Urban Farm and filled up the tank in the yard with, when I did the math on that rain event, 29,000 gallons of water in an hour and a half. Yeah, it was amazing. So rainwater is one type of water harvesting. Gray water, which is legal in the state of Arizona to do as long as you follow the state's 13 guidelines of collecting and distributing gray water, it's legal to do that. And gray water is any water that goes down any drain of your house except your kitchen sink and your toilets, which is about 80% of the water that we get that goes through our house. And it's essentially, once you've used it, it's free. So we might as well figure out how to get it out into our landscape. And we'll talk about that in a little while. And then there's stormwater harvesting. And stormwater harvesting is really water that runs by your house on the street. And how can you figure out how to utilize that? And there are some great options and opportunities for that. Then there's my evaporative cooler. You know, I love my evaporative cooler. We still use it. I had one when I was a kid here in the 70s. And when I bought the Urban Farm 32 years ago, there was a place on the roof for an evap cooler, but there wasn't one there. And I immediately put one in. And this is also called swamp cooling or evaporative cooling. And it paid for itself. It was $1,200 back in 1989 to put it up on the roof, and it paid for itself in a year and a half from saving electricity from air conditioning. But you can only use the evap from, you can't use the evap in July, August, September because it's just too dang humid. But there is a steady stream of water that comes off of your evaporative cooler that it's like the condensation that drips off of your roof from your air conditioning. Collect those and use them. So those are the main ways that I do water harvesting here at the Urban Farm. And what I'm looking for when I'm doing it is I'm looking for places that water's coming off for free that I can collect, direct, and put it in my landscape and use it for watering things.
And those months that you're not running the evaporative cooler, you know, evap cooling works by adding moisture to the air. Air conditioning works by removing moisture from the air. So right. When you turn off your evap cooler and you turn on your air conditioning, there's a condensate drain line that is all the air, all the moisture that the air conditioning is removing from the air is directed out of your house. It's a little plastic tube that comes out of the side of your house, and depending on the height and the style and location of the equipment, there may be two PVC coming out at the same time. And what that's for is if the top one's leaking and not the bottom one, it's a backup, so you know there's something's clogging your drain. So that's something you definitely need to investigate. If you've got two condensation lines and water's coming out of the top and not the bottom, that's your warning sign to check it out.
And it makes an amazing, I mean, gallons of water per day can come off of your condensation.
And it's purified. Then Dad uses it for his dog's drinking water because it's absolutely purified water.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So those are the rainwater harvesting. I'm sorry. Those are the water harvesting. I'm just so clicked into the rainwater part, right?
We got to retrain ourselves at this.
Keep saying that. Exactly. We need it to fall as quickly as possible.
And so, and really what I do is I pay attention to where's the water, especially these days, and how can I redirect it into my landscape? So.
Well, let's dive in. You've got all of, you know, so those are all the different elements of water harvesting. And let's start off with the first one you've got here on gray water harvesting systems. You said there's 13 points that we have to follow when doing gray water harvesting. We won't go through all 13 of those, but you can get that from your local municipality's one-stop shop that handles all the building codes and permit regulations.
Yeah, and you may have to educate them some because they don't always know about it, but it is a document called Best Practices for Gray Water Harvesting in Arizona from the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, AZDEQ, and they have that available for you. So,
well, we'll definitely get that link thrown up on the archive page for today's broadcast for easy point of reference if this broadcast just so inspires you to take action and do a little bit more of your on-site water harvesting.
Yes, and really what we're talking about here is watching where the water is coming from and directing it into your landscape for best use. So it's not running away from you, it's running into your landscape. So that's in permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature. So how do we work in the flow of nature? The number one thing to do in permaculture is observe, sit back and pay attention. Now, I've been looking at water harvesting for so long here in the desert for over 30 years. When I walk into a property, I can just look to see, and I can see signs about where the water's coming from and where it's going. And so I really want to encourage our listeners out there today, start paying attention, especially when it's raining. Where's that water coming from and where it's going? And the big thing is, and we call this the water source. The big thing we want to do is get it to the place of our landscape that it's most useful for us. And there's 5 components of a water harvesting system. We just talked about the first one, the water source. Where is your water coming from and where is it going? Then there's part number 2, and this is from Art Ludwig's book, Creating an Oasis with Gray Water. If you're interested in gray water systems, that's the Bible book to get for gray water harvesting. The second part is the collection and distribution plumbing. This is the gutters and pipes that get the water to where you want to use it at. The third part of his system is the tank, the filter, and the pump. Now, I like designing my gray water and rainwater systems so that I don't need a tank, a filter, and a pump, because the most expensive part of putting in a gray water and rainwater system is the tank, the filter, and the pump. So if you could design your system so that you didn't have to have that, you're in the bonus round. I mean, literally, a non-tanked system here at the Urban Farm that distributes half of the water off of my roof. So it's basically gutter, pipe down into the ground, and a pipe that runs about 30 feet out into my yard, $80 to put that in. On the north side of my property, I put in a rainwater harvesting tank. It collects the same amount of rainwater when it rains and it cost $1,800 to put it in. So $80, $1,800. They both do the same. They both do the same thing. It's just that the tank holds on to the water for use later. The ground where you're putting the water holds on to the water, so that your plants can use it later.
And the difference here when we're collecting rainwater, that's different than gray water. You wouldn't want to store gray water. You want that going straight to point of use.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Exactly, because gray water becomes black water and very stinky very fast. So part number three, so we got the water source, the collection and distribution plumbing. We got part number three is the tank, the filter, and the pump, which, as you already know, I'm not a great fan of. Then there's the landscape. Where in your landscape do you want this water? Where does it do the most work? And then the fifth piece is the what we call the people, the place, and the design. It's standing back and looking at the whole system to make sure that you design and implement this whole process as effectively as possible.
So there, the five elements of gray water harvesting. And again, this is just gray water. We're still going to talk about rainwater and stormwater.
No, this is rainwater and gray water.
Rainwater and gray water. That applies to both.
Yeah. Any rainwater, I do it myself. Any water harvesting system that we put in place, those are the five components that you really need to look at in order to be successful with putting a system in.
We're talking water, not rain, water harvesting with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm here at Rosie on the House.